Today, I'm continuing in talking about the Holy Spirit. I've been born again for over 60 years. I got saved when I was 13, and I got baptized in water when I was 15. But I had a bit of a difficulty with the Holy Spirit. For quite a long time, I was actually in my 30s when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I wish I hadn't resisted. But you see, I was brought up in a holiness church, and those are very good people. You're disciplined. You walk a holy life. You desert the world, but you do it in your own strength with them because they do not preach about the Holy Ghost. And in fact, if you show any demonstration of emotion, such as raising your hand that high, you got told off. So I got told off. And I got to a place where I was so desperate for something more. I wanted to see the power of God. Yes, I was active from being a teenager when, with some other young teenagers and 20s, we strapped guitars around our shoulders and went round the country preaching the gospel, yes. It was dangerous sometimes. We went to Toxteth and I was doing the God spot. And this lad came running up and brought out his flick knife and held it to my throat and said, "Stop doing this." Somehow or other, the strength came to say, "Don't be silly, go and sit down." Which he did, of course. Because if you speak in the power of the Holy Ghost, then it has power to change people's hearts. We spent a lot of time over in Manchester in the catacombs. Just nobody will remember that, will you? Do you remember it, Eddie? Yeah, did you ever go? No? Oh, you missed out, lad. I've actually got a record of a group that came up from London to play there. Out of Darkness, they were called. And I've learned recently that it's so rare, it's worth a lot of money. But we were there at the time, and yeah, it was good. But it wasn't enough. I heard all these stories of missionaries, because our church was a great missionary church. And all these missionaries were coming back with wonderful stories of how God had undertaken for them and going into the wilds of Africa. And, oh boy, I was brought up on that. And I wanted to have that power in my life. I wanted to do the same things. I was really excited. It was an era when the churches were missionary-minded, not like today. It's rare to find people going to the mission field, to the difficult areas. But then they were queuing up to go. A friend of mine that I met actually at work, he was a salesman and he came along and I got to know this man. He eventually started a big church in London. But he invited Audrey and myself along to his girlfriend's house in Liverpool. We thought we were just going for a meal, you see. But it turned out that it was my day. And the Holy Ghost came. It's hard to describe. It's like being in glory. The nearest I can describe it is like sitting on the sands when the waves are coming in as they break over you. Such joy, such peace. Never forgot it, never will. And of course, as you know, that subsequently Audrey and I did go on missions. We went to some very dangerous places. But we saw souls saved. We saw miracles. And I miss it so much. Anyway, let's turn to the Word of God. I'm going to read from John chapter 14, just three verses. Just three verses. John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Carrie, you mentioned that God gives you a choice. If you will do this, I will do that. And what I'm going to, the rest of the passage I've chosen is conditional on keeping the commandments of the Lord. If you want to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, you start off by living a holy life. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. This is where we have won over on the disciples, folks. The Holy Spirit was with them as he dwelt in Jesus Christ at that time. But later, after Pentecost, he moved and he went into each one of them. And he wants to live in us. That's our link with Jesus. John 7, verse 38 says this, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly or heart, that you know, that this innermost part of your life that drives you, shall flow rivers of living water. And I always wanted to be a man who had living water for other people. This is what the Holy Spirit is all about. Yes, some of our charismatic friends have been a bit over the, well, they've made it a plaything sometimes, the gifts. And it's given a bad taste to many people. But please don't be put off by things that you might think are out of order. Because without the Holy Spirit, you have no power. You have no power to live that holy life. And you have no power to do good things for other people. You have power through the Holy Ghost because he is God and he dwells in you and he brings a knowledge of Jesus and of the Father. The disciples walked with Jesus and fellowship daily. The Holy Spirit was in Jesus at that time. So they, in fact, did have a second-hand experience of the Holy Spirit. But you know, they didn't understand what Jesus was telling them very often. They were frail, they were powerless. And that was because of their fallen humanity. We've all got to admit, the way we come into this world is a failed, fallen human being. And the only way we can gain strength is through the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit when he comes to dwell in us. They kind of knew the Holy Spirit secondhand, if you like. But there was this promise. There was a promise that he wasn't just going to be with his people, he was going to be in them. And my lovely brothers and sisters, I know some of you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but some of you perhaps are resisting. Your life will change if you truly give every little bit to the Holy Spirit. It's just the same as giving your life to Jesus. Because Father and Son and Holy Ghost are all one. It's not something we understand, but it's three persons in one personality. They're all together. But they part, the third of the Godhead that is here today is the Holy Ghost. Jesus, who because of our sin had to become like us to pay the price for sin by dying, is limited to his body. And he's in heaven. He's not here. He is here through the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that dwells in me. And what I know of Jesus is transmitted to me by that wonderful Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is a spirit. It's obvious, isn't it? Because that's what he's called. But a spirit can be everywhere. They're not limited like we are to a body. One day we will be the same. We will be changed, the Bible says. And on the way to heaven, which is not far off, we'll drop this old carcass and we'll have a spiritual body like Jesus. But right now, the next best thing is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Keeps you going. Well, what's this promise? Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water, said John the Baptist, unto repentance. But he that comes after me is much greater and mightier than me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to pick up. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There is no such thing as a Holy Ghost-filled child of God that is silent in a corner. You can't do it for long. It's got to burst out. A fire is something that devours, and the Holy Ghost devours sin. It's something that could be seen for miles, a fire, and the smoke rising from it. The effect of the Holy Ghost. It changes our personalities. Look, I was one of the shyest teenagers you would ever likely to come across. In fact, you were unlikely to come across me because I would avoid you. I'd walk up the main street in the town where I lived, and if I saw anybody coming down that knew me vaguely, I'd dodge down a side street. I was terrible. You've no idea how painful it was, unless you like that yourself. God's changed me. The other thing that fire does, it cleans up a mess. What do you do with all the rubbish in your house? Well, in the old days, you took it in the garden and set light to it, and it all burned away. And then you dug the remainder into the ground. Fire is a cleansing agent. It's a refining agent. When you dig gold out of the ground, there's copper with it, and there may be some silver, there may be a few other metals. And through the process of melting down and refining, it becomes pure gold. And this fire of the Holy Ghost starts with us and refines us, touching our conscience, giving us strength, giving us power over our own life. You look at the news and you see people doing all sorts of terrible things. But the sadness is they can't really help it. They've not got the strength in themselves to live righteously. It's only by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's remember that. And instead of condemning them, if we can get close to them, let's get close to them and love them. I remember in our days going round with guitar strapped round our necks. I won't say playing. We were in the catacombs once, and I got talking to this guy. He was dressed in a robe. It was flower power days. And the place was actually really high with weed. And the noise level, oh boy, I'm quite deaf actually. And it's no wonder, because the group I was in, we had loudspeakers that would fill that whole wall. And we did play loud. In fact, we were congratulated one day by a fellow who'd been in a pub 2 miles away when we were practicing. He said, "You were very good last night, 2 miles." You see, when the Holy Ghost comes in and he burns up all the dross, it releases our minds to understand God, for a start, and to understand how to live a good life and how to pass your exams. I think most of you passed that, aren't you? It releases our pent-up emotions. We are creatures of emotion. You shouldn't sort of downgrade emotion as to, oh, he's all emotional. We're creatures of intellect, yes, but we're creatures of emotion too. And some of us couldn't release our emotions. And you go into a corner and you'd be two people fighting each other. Because your emotions, you've been brought up to be an Englishman. And you don't show emotions. It's wrong. God made us emotional. And if you want to cry, go ahead and cry. It'll do you good. We don't always have to have the stiff upper lip, and we don't always have to appear strong when we're not. The Holy Spirit will allow you to do that. He will give you the strength inside to be really who you are. And if there's something wrong with who you are, he will begin to change you. The Holy Spirit came when Jesus sent him to dwell in mankind, when they gave their heart to Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus went to Calvary and left his disciples, they fell apart, didn't they? They went into hiding. Even denying Jesus. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But as we'll see a little later, Peter was the one that as soon as the Holy Ghost came on him, he went out into the crowd, the hostile crowd, who'd just been baying for Jesus' blood, and he preached a sermon and 3,000 of them got saved. That's what I want to do. Touch people's hearts. Out in Africa, I've seen crowds coming. It's wonderful, wonderful. After Pentecost, though, all of the disciples were transformed by the Holy Ghost that dwelt within them. You see, God, as the Holy Spirit, came to dwell in them and to change them and to be the opening of a private line, if you like, where the power of God could flow down through the Holy Spirit into our lives, so we could preach with power, so that we could sing with power, so that we could go places we would never naturally go in our lives, and we could face things that really we wouldn't want to face if we were given the choice, and come through unscathed and praising God. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Peter addressed the crowd and deep conviction came upon them. That's something we don't talk about in the churches today, but in my day, the preacher was after bringing conviction in the sinners' hearts so they would know that there was something wrong. Most people came to Jesus Christ for forgiveness with tears flowing down their faces. And they never went back. Acts 2:37, talking about the result of Peter's preaching. They were pricked in their hearts. That just means convicted. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, What can we do? I've been a bit dramatic because that was the effect. I've heard preachers like that. You can't hide. And 3,000 were saved. Do you know, that should be still the condition of the church. And we have fallen away. Mark 16:15 gives us our job. There is one job for the church. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That might be just your neighbor over a cup of coffee. And you start off by talking about your gardens and the plants. Never miss an opportunity to have a conversation. You never know, the Holy Spirit may turn it to matters eternal. Yes, I'll give you a testimony. Some of you have heard it if you came to the prayer meeting. About 4 or 5 years ago, I fell in the garden. I fell backwards and fell onto a tree stump with the top of my leg just there. It hurt. Anyway, after about a week, I could survive with it, so I didn't bother going to the doctors. I don't always run there because they just think, oh, well, Mr. Blackburn, yeah, I'm not sure quite what to do with that. You know what you get. Last year, about July, I ended up in hospital with sepsis. It took me a long time to recover. In fact, I've more or less just been discharged from the hospital after that. And I got this arthritis everywhere. I had arthritis in every joint in my body. And the consultant said, looking at you and your attitude, you'll recover from it all. And I did, apart from this left leg where I'd fallen. And so he said, well, go next door and have an x-ray. This is about just before the lockdown. So he sent me a letter and he said, oh, we found a crack in your femur. You've got a broken leg. he said, I took the x-ray along to my friend, the bone specialist, and he agrees with me. But we'd like you to have another scan, so we want you to go to Preston and have a radioactive scan, because we think you might have something else. So, anyway, eventually, about 3 weeks ago, I went up to Preston and we had this scan. And he sent me another letter saying, Mr. Blackburn, yes, you do take up too much calcium. We'll sort that out. But there is no sign that there's ever been a break in your femur. Isn't God good? I didn't even ask him. But there was an incident in the middle of all this. One Sunday during lockdown, I got fed up with being in the house, so I thought, I'm going out for a walk. And it was a beautiful day. And so, I'll walk about 3 or 4 miles. But this day, I got to the point where I would normally turn round, and the Lord said, I want you to go to Ashurst Beacon, which is about twice as far. I said, Lord, but my leg's hurting. He said, go. I said, all right, you get me back. So I went. And after just chatting with one or two people on the way, came across these two men and got into deep conversation with them. There weren't people I would choose to be with because every other word was the F word. But I just felt I had to stay and talk to them. And we found things to talk about that we had common interest in. Anyway, one of them went, he had to go, and the Lord said to me, don't you go, stay with this other man. His name is Graham. And so I'm sort of talking to him and I'm wondering what it's all about. And he blurted out, I was made redundant yesterday. Oh, I said, I'm awfully sorry. I hope you get another job. No, I don't want another job. I'm dying. What? And he's 6 foot and bronzed and looking as fitter than any of you. I thought, you can't be. I said, what is it? He said, I've got a cerebellastoma. That's a brain cancer. And he said, there were three other people who joined me on a course of treatment. They're all dead now. I said, I'm a pastor. I believe in prayer. Can I pray for you? And this was and there must have been about 50 people around. I said, can I lay hands on you and pray for you? So there and then I laid hands on him and prayed for him. He was in tears. When I asked him, he said, oh, deem it an honor. So I obeyed God, didn't I? I obeyed God's command. And look, this is the Holy Ghost. He looks after us no matter what. I am not going with COVID or anything else until my work on earth is finished. I want to go because it's so much better than here, but I'm staying until the job is done. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Doesn't have to be a brilliant sermon. It can be a little conversation. You might not even see any results. I gave Graham my telephone number, but I've heard nothing from him yet. I suppose when he next has an examination and finds it's gone, then he might ring me. So who is this Holy Ghost? What's his purpose? What's the Holy Ghost's purpose with us? Jesus called him another comforter, so it's quite obvious that the teaching and the advocacy that Jesus gave to his disciples and how he showed them to live a righteous, holy life and gave them understanding of the way, because that's what Christianity was called then. The indwelling Holy Spirit does that today. He's another comforter. And you know what? We need the Holy Spirit to explain things to you. You see, with our minds, we don't understand a thing spiritually. We can be very clever. We can have done all sorts in this world, but it doesn't help us one iota with the Word of God. This is what the Bible says. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural mind understands the things of the natural world. The spiritual heart understands the things of the Spirit. Without Jesus, with Jesus gone, the disciples were utterly helpless. And all of us, all men, all women, all children, are utterly helpless without God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills the void. He's our only link with Jesus and with the Father. As I said before, Jesus dwells in heaven, not here. The Holy Spirit dwells here. But he is a permanent link, better than Zoom. And he's wanting to do everything for you and me that Jesus would have done if he was by our sides. That's a start. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22 says, now he who establishes with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. In other words, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to join us to God. Wow. Your link with God is the indwelling Holy Spirit. So you don't have to go anywhere special to meet the Holy Spirit. You don't even have to read your Bible, although it's a good thing to do. The Holy Spirit indwelling loves you like Jesus. He'll comfort you. So his purpose is to join us with God and to make us strong. Let me ask the question again. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is his nature this time? You know, it's well accepted that married couples often grow to be like each other, certainly in, in nature, I found that with Audrey. Everybody was saying, oh, he's so much alike. So what is the nature and character of the Holy Ghost? What nature does he bring into our lives? Because he's closer than any spouse. The best we can do with your spouse is just get your arms around them and squeeze them until they almost pop off. But the Holy Spirit's right in here. He's right inside. So he's bound to leave a mark on us, isn't he? Well, I see three important characteristics. And the first one is gentleness. Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Say it out loud, Emma. Who likes doves? Yeah? They're lovely creatures, aren't they? And when they sing and coo in the evening, isn't it so satisfying? It's gentle, isn't it? The Holy Spirit has also been described in Psalms as the dew on Mount Hermon. Now, dew can only happen in still, cool conditions. If there's any wind, you don't get a dew. And there we have it, the dove and the dew, describing the character of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants to make you and me first of all. Gentle, patient, loving, very stable. May take a time, but he will do that. If you find somebody who fits those characteristics, I'll guarantee they belong to Jesus. What's the second one? It's great power. You see, human beings were initially created to rule with God. And really, to rule, you've got to have some kind of power. Not to make demands, but to make wise decisions. And you've all got to do them anyway. But most people in the world make the wrong decision. Nature's two greatest forces are fire and wind. I've talked about fire. But wind, you know, I remember when I was still working some, probably 30 years ago now, I'm not sure. I'd gone down on business to Southampton. As I drove a car from Heathrow down to Southampton, could see all these lovely forests. There's a lot of forest down there. And I finished my business down in Southampton. I drove back up to the airport. And I couldn't believe it. All these forests were blown down. They really were. They were flattened everywhere. I got to Heathrow and found the flights were cancelled. It's okay. I did eventually get a flight about 11 o'clock. There's an air crew wanted to get back to Manchester. And they were willing to take up an old 111. It was still windy. But it was a great flight. Enjoyed it. And this combination of fire and wind fell on the disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Wow, were they changed? Did they come out of hiding? Did Peter go and address the 5,000 strong crowd? Only hours before, he'd been saying to a little girl, no, I don't know him. You've got it wrong. I'm not with him. The Holy Ghost made all that different, gave him power to be who he was supposed to be. And thirdly, the characteristic of the Holy Spirit that I really like is abundance. He's not stingy. The word often speaks of the oil of the Spirit, and I get a picture in my mind about oil. You remember the old gushers, the oil wells when oil was first discovered. They'd dig a hole, and then all of a sudden they'd reach the oil, and the pressure was so much, you'd get a fountain of black oil, 100-foot high, spreading everywhere. Nowadays, there's not many of those left. We're having to pump the oil out. It's getting done, you know. There's an abundance. God's supply never fails. The Bible tells us that. There's a story in 1 Kings 17 where Elijah turns up at a house. And there's only a widow there and her son. And there's a famine going on. And he says, "Will you look after me like?" She said, "Well, I've only one barrel of meal and I've only one cruse of oil." Do you know what? While he was there, which was a long time, it says, here we are, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." The Holy Spirit's supply of whatever you need is never going to be done. It's constantly renewed. Oh, there's so much for every one of us, Kerry. So out of a gentle and innocent person, with a holy heart, there should be flowing an ever-increasing abundance of the power of God to destroy sin and bring us into total emancipation, total freedom. Being old, I always have to look back. And I believe, I'm going to ask you the question, isn't it true that we as Christians in this generation, there are exceptions, I know, and I praise God for them, we have settled, sold out to soul-destroying mediocrity. I believe that a church with Jesus Christ at its head and the Holy Spirit free to move will be a thing of wonder, whether it is big or little. Doesn't have to be big. What do you think it would be like to have 50 people in a church, not one of them having a single worry about COVID-19? I found so many Christians who were scared to death. God is looking after us. And if he decides it's time for me to go home with or without COVID-19, I've already said it, I'm ready to go. But while I'm here, I'm not going to settle. I wonder, where are the queues of young would-be missionaries who are giving their lives wholly to God? I don't see it anymore. Ghana testifies to hundreds of missionaries coming from Britain, young people in their 20s, with the good news, and most of them living no more than 6 weeks before they succumb to malaria and sleeping sickness. Ghana today is largely a Christian country. And they thank the British. They said to me, they came and they died on our shores. And more came to fill their place. And as they came, they pushed the evil back to the borders. Christ is known in Ghana. But see, they so loved Jesus. They were so empowered by the Holy Ghost that they went in spite of knowing they might not survive very long. Where are the preachers today that agonize in prayer for hours, pleading with God for the people before they dare to address them? How many of us have shed tears in private over the lost and over the present sinful state of our nation? It was a great nation spiritually at one time. How often do you cry over it before God? You know, the Holy Ghost has given us all the power and all the wisdom that we need. Leonard Ravenhill, in his book, Why Revival Tarries, makes this statement. With all you're getting, he says, get unction. It's a mighty anointing. Do you know what? It's sad to me that there is no modern equivalent of that word unction. You only find it in old dictionaries where it means a quality in language and expression which excites the emotions and brings about a strong devotion. It's to do with God all the time. A religious fervor with tenderness, with love. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to bring into every one of our lives. There are no spectators in the kingdom of heaven. We need that anointing. We need to seek the Holy Ghost. First of all for the baptism and then daily to meet the needs. Mere historical facts or any other facts may change a man's mind, but it's never going to touch his heart. And it's the power of the Holy Ghost within the wind and the fire that is going to touch people's hearts. Yes, I might seem emotional. I might seem to be going over the top. I might seem to be a bit political and you know, saying things that you don't like. But I don't care. Because I'm driven by that Holy Spirit. And he's made me free enough to do it. Do you want to preach like the great preachers of the past? The Holy Ghost is the answer. And spending lots of time with God alone. You know, that wind and fire that fell on the disciples in that upper room at Pentecost made them irresistible. The crowd had to listen. Uncontrollable. No doubt somebody said to them, "You better not go out there, you'll get lynched, Peter." But no, he wasn't listening. And unpredictable. They did what the Holy Ghost said, not what reason said. They started missionary fires. They begat revival fires. And yes, they lit martyr fires. But you know, God planned it to be the same today. The same today. But we've settled for the mediocre. It's only Holy Ghost fire that will destroy sin in your life and my life. That will purify us and give us a zeal for God. A zeal that attracts and empowers us for war. Because we are at war. From this point on, things are going down until we hear the trumpet call. My guess is 6 or 7 years. Get in the right place with God. We've been shortchanged, folks, in general. We have cold churches in our country and a cold world because the preachers have let the fire go out. And I point the finger at me as well. Because I've been satisfied with the mediocre. I am not any longer. So what will you do? John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." In Ezekiel chapter 47, we have a vision of the temple of the living God. Now, we are today the temple of the living God. We are that temple. But this picture in Ezekiel shows the water coming out of the temple. First of all, in verse 3, it's water up to the ankles, and then it's water up to the waist, and then it's water to swim in. This flow gets bigger and bigger and bigger all the way along. How devoted are we to God today? Walking in holiness, separated from this world, being gentle and never defending ourselves, walking in Holy Ghost power and turning the world upside down. Maybe you don't even want to dip your toe in the waters. Maybe you'll wade as long as it's pleasurable and doesn't cost too much. Or maybe you're going to throw yourself in the deep end. That's how I learned to swim. I used to go with the school. They never let me go out of my depth. My father took me once and threw me in the deep end. I swam. The choice is yours. The way to move forward is to seek the Holy Ghost and remain on your knees off and on as long as it takes. I was thankful for one of the hymns that we sang, but there's a chorus I just want to leave you with. I'm not going to try and sing it. "All that thrills my soul
is Jesus.
That's where he's brought me after Audrey's death. He is more than life to me. And I mean that. He's the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your word. Mighty God, I just pray right now I've delivered what you gave me as best as I could. Lord, it's up to you. I love my dear brothers and sisters here, and I want them to have the best. I want them to catch fire, Lord. I want them to be excited by you. Just a mention of your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray you will be with these people, my brothers and sisters, and bless them. Take away all fear. Thank you, Lord. Amen.